Welcome.
Yes.
And we'd like you here a long time.
Yes.
All right. We have no old business for this evening. We'll move on to new business, the approval of the board minutes from June 12, 2024.
Madam President, I move to approve item 12.1, board minutes from June 2024 as submitted.
Second. All right. With a motion by Mr. Skuse, a second by Mr. Snow to approve the board minutes from the June 12, 2024 meeting as submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, how do you vote, Ms. Weber?
Aye.
Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair will abstain. Motion passes with four yeses and one abstention. Approval of the monthly financial reports. Motion by Dr. Wilson, a second by Ms. Weber to approve the monthly financial reports as submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, how do you vote, Ms. Weber?
Aye.
Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries 5-0. Uh, 2025 recommended tax rates, final. This is the tax rate recommendation for fiscal year 2025.
Yes. If you would entertain the idea, we have a presentation to share with you.
Sure.
That combines the recommended budget for FY 2025, the preliminary budget, as well as the tax rates for 2025. All the materials that are presented with the agenda are covered here at a high level. So if you have any specific questions to the materials that are posted, please let me know. Topic here, or if you'd like to wait until the end of the end as well. If you wouldn't mind me just thanking Steve for everything that he's done for quite a while, and we'll be helping, hopefully not in quite as big of a capacity, but for about another 8 or 9 months. So, thank you.
We're
glad to have you back.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
We are.
Absolutely.
We're very long time.
It was just at the other end of his text messages. So as we talk about the next year's budget and the tax rates that we're going to propose tonight, there are things that we have little control over, and we call them cost drivers or door openers. There are things that we really need to fund to make sure we can continue to educate the students in our district. Some of those things are a result of legislative changes. We have local salary increases that we'll be looking at tonight, enrollment or unit changes throughout the district, utility increases, contracts or agreements that are multi-years that have built-in inflationary factors, what the student needs are in any given year, and some of our major projects, major construction projects as we move forward. For the state side, the items that we're looking at being funded this year are the salary increases. There were pretty significant salary policy changes over the last 2 years for most of the classifications. Opportunity Fund, the state share was increased this year as well pretty significantly. We have safety and security funding. It is year 2 of that program. This year we have MCI state support as well as an enhanced MCI again. It's both cover a 3-year period of time, and we have major projects funding for the new construction, the CIS renovation and expansion, as well as the North Smyrna Elementary School renovation and expansion. To support the local share, we look at local taxes, current expense, which funds the operations portion of our budget. We have the authority to recommend to the board and the board adopt match taxes. The categories are math and reading specialists and extra time for the buildings. There's a technology match ability, an opportunity fund match ability, minor capital improvements, and vocational equipment replacement match ability. Our district and our board has supported all of those in the past. We also showing you is that on the operation side, current expense side, we're expecting about a $300,000 increase in collections. The match increase would be about $78,000 this year. The tuition is about an additional $600,000 this year to cover those special services. And the debt service collections, we are looking to increase that by $600,000 this year. And that is specifically related to the bond issuance in the past and what we expect to do this year. Again, each one of those components make up our local match. And you can see the Kent County rate is recommended at 0.3328 and the Newcastle rate at 1.4162. Reviewing the revenue that the district expects to receive next year, state revenue, a significant portion of it is based on 930 enrollment, but this is a summary of what we would expect to receive in the coming school year. So we have many of the classifications or categories are familiar with folks. Division 1, which would cover the unit count for positions, funding, personnel costs. Division 2 and Division 3 are various operating costs. Division 3 can be used as if it were local funds. The state also funds a significant portion of the transportation costs for students in the district. And then there are other revenue categories that would include things like the opportunity funding, something like CPR funding or safety funding that the state provides. And each year since 2018, to determine how to take about $1,100,000 reduction in the budget. At the beginning of the year, we just call it out, and then we put together this package tonight. And as we see what the 930 count is, we will propose to the board what those reductions should be in operations. So you'll see that coming later in the fall. In addition to the state, we also collect those local revenues. Some of them result of the taxes, the tax components that we saw earlier. Other areas are operational. So on this, going back to the previous side, on the state side, it was almost a $5 million increase year over year, and the most of the contributing factor there would be the salary policy for the state. As we're looking at the local funding, as well, and we see some offsetting reductions. Our debt service is one area that we'll see the collections increase the most. We have also an MCI match that is required for the basic MCI for the state. That is also about $625,000. Slide behind you guys. The current expense revenue that we do expect to increase year over year just based on assessment property changes, not in the reassessment change, just property changes year over year. We've experienced anywhere from a 1 to about a 3.5% increase. This represents about 2.5% year over year. Some of the tuition tax increases that you'll see cover both expenses that we incur directly at the department or at the district or at special schools within the state or specialized schools that are not part of the state. And the increase up top of 364 is offset partially by a decrease at the bottom of non-operating of 264, so that's really a net of $100,000 the district side. Our federal revenues are based on allocations and are determined by the feds and DOE. We'll see a slight change, or we're expecting to see a slight change in 2025 over 2024, and that is partially. partnered with DTI in the, I believe, 2020-2021 fiscal year to start the initiative of upgrading the capacity of the school buildings for internet for 1 gig. That was accomplished in the fall of 2021, but DTI has not recognized the billings for all 8 buildings until just this spring. This was an area last year that we requested a small increase because they realized they were missing 2 buildings. This year they realized that they were missing many more than 2. And overall, by going from the capacity that we had in the past to 1 gig, it's about $95,000 a year to provide that service to the students in the building. So that is the operations increase of $80,000. As we're looking at transportation, I would suggest that we lump the local transportation and state transportation together when we're talking about it. And basically, it's just about just under a 10% increase that we're recommending here for both of those in total. As you know, we have our own routes this year. We were not able to become fully functional with our own equipment, with our own assets in 2024. So we learned a lot about how to make do with some hand-me-downs. And we're hoping to get those new buses in before the school year starts next year. But we're still expecting, with the Transportation Committee recommendations that we'll see an increase in both of those areas. And that's the State Transportation Committee. Local salaries, right now we have a $200,000 placeholder. We're recommending that to cover the cost of steps for the staff that are on board. And for those that may not know, the steps are recognizing the experience level, increasing by 1 year for those employees that have a pay scale that recognizes years of service. We have an increase of $10,000 on the district line. That $10,080 will cover the cost of a fleet van. The district is in dire need of passenger vehicles for students. Marvel was able to acquire a van through Fleet Services, and it will cost about $10,000 a year, but that comes with insurance and maintenance and things like that. So that was a great deal, and thank him for doing that. We probably will be looking for another one in the coming months because we have 2 pretty bad vehicles out there. Salaries, again, this is reflective of the state portion of our salaries. Pay policy represented passed by the state, and transportation we lumped together earlier. On the opportunity funds, immersion, and other state line, you'll see an increase of $154,000 over last year. That $154,000 is a net result of the opportunity funds from the state increasing year over year. School safety and security funding here that you see was reduced by $1,322. That's actually the grant that I mentioned earlier, the allocation that I mentioned earlier. This is year 2. Most of the funding appears in the bond bill as cash. So in year 1, we received a total of $438,207. In 2025, this year, we're expecting to receive $418,191. So slightly less in total, but still a very, very generous appropriation. Technology instructional. During the FY 2021 referendum and the package that was put together for that, the district initiated the one-to-one initiative for all students and teachers. The amount that was allocated and set aside at that time was sufficient to replace or for the replacement schedule that we had. But with the cost I was getting into my notes. So we're missing size.
Yeah, so there's a couple of our heads.
Yes. Sorry. When I move them, I must not open.
I would just like to say I appreciate you going through line by line to any of the lines that had increases in budget year over year. Thank you for that detail and explanation for each of these.
Of course.
And very glad to have you back, too.
Thank you.
Sampling of about 6 to 8.
So, Ms. Hudson.
Pay their fair share.
Yeah. Our old tax rate for the school tax rate was 2.1048.
Correct.
Our new proposed tax rate will be, if approved today, would be 0.3426. So our old tax rate was six times what the new proposed tax rate will be.
That is correct. Based on a different assessment base, but correct, the rate itself.
If we just look at the rate, because I know a lot of people, they saw their house go, you know, from an assessed value of some of the $90,000 to the market value of $500,000 and said, oh my gosh, my taxes are going to go through the roof. But from our perspective, we can only speak from ours, not the other ones, but our tax rate is going to be, if approved today, would be six, our old tax rate is six times what our new tax rate will be.
Correct.
So, right. Okay.
I really appreciate you putting this together.
Absolutely.
Side by side, I think that's really helpful. For not just us, but everybody here, you can see an apples to apples comparison of where we were, where we are, and help, you know, squash some of that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a, you know, $400,000 house, and we're paying $9 million in tax.
And I think this is something that putting out there the old tax rate of 2.1048 and the new tax rate, if approved tonight, being 0.3426, is something that we have to publicize more and get out there to the community so that they actually know what those new rates will be.
Okay, I just wrote that down.
Okay, perfect.
And may I just remind the audience and the board, when we're talking about the rate changes here, we're talking about Kent County rates.
Yes.
Kent County was the only county that had reassessment. We will be looking at the same scenario next year for a small portion of Newcastle County once their reassessment is done. So we had it on the header on the slide that it was a Kent County example, but I just wanted to reinforce that with everyone here.
Thank you.
Oh, you had something to say? Oh, yeah.
I apologize. We had two scenarios that we were putting together, and we're recommending the lower.
The 0.3328.
Yes.
Okay. Just wonder which one. Sure. Yeah. Yep. Madam President, I move to approve item 12.3 FY 2025 recommended tax rate final as submitted.
Motion by Mr. Skuse and a second by Mr. Snow to approve the fiscal year 2025 recommended tax rates final as submitted. Any further questions or comments? Hearing none, how do you vote, Ms. Weber?
Aye.
Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move to approve item 12.4 FY 2025 recommended budget preliminary.
The motion by Mr. Skuse, the second by Dr. Wilson to approve the fiscal year 2025 recommended budget preliminary. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, Ms. Weber, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries 5-0. All right, that brings us to 12.5, the dietitian pay scale.
Okay, the Smyrna School District Child Nutrition Program has employed a dietitian for more than 4 years. This position is funded using federal and state dollars that are generated through the Smyrna School District's Child Nutrition Program. The positions historically used the Child Nutrition Program Kitchen Manager's pay scale. The recent hire of our new dietitian after our last dietitian resigned from her position showed that this position and job classification doesn't have a specific pay scale. The administration has worked over the past couple years to provide better structure and align pay scales to job classifications and positions. Finance and operations work together to establish a pay scale for this position and ensure that it's consistent with districts of similar size and proximity. The Child Nutrition Program bears the physical responsibility for this pay scale. The Smyrna School District does not contribute any funding for this child nutrition position. For this evening, the Superintendent of Schools recommends the school board approve the FY 2025 proposed dietitian pay scale as submitted.
So just to clarify, Mr. Holt, this position is not funded in any way by the Smyrna School District. The child nutrition is self-sufficient.
That's correct.
Sustaining.
That's correct.
Okay. So this is not taking money from any other part of the school district.
That's correct. Child nutrition dollars cannot be used to fund positions outside of the child nutrition program.
Madam President, I move to approve item 12.5, dietitian pay scale as submitted.
Motion by Mr. Skous, second by Ms. Weber to approve 12.5, dietitian pay scale as submitted. Any further questions or comments? Hearing none, how do you vote, Ms. Weber?
Aye.
Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skous?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. All right, 12.6, donated athletic building.
Okay, so we have something exciting for this evening. A little bit of background information. So Mr. Schultz was approached by a couple gentlemen of our community as well as some folks that are part of our athletic coaching team to donate an athletics building to the school district. Essentially what the group is hoping to do is establish a nonprofit organization, and that's going to be created by Mr. Pete Campbell and Mr. Vince Clemens. The named individuals plan to establish that nonprofit organization, solicit funds, build this facility, and donate it to the Smyrna School District. A little bit of discussion here. Our district's growing, as we all know, and more pressure is being placed upon all of our athletics facilities. Our new middle school, as we've discussed in the past, will experience some complications with scheduling baseball due to some field availability. This new facility will help to address the needs of the school district for baseball and softball during their respective seasons, as well as support other athletic teams during times when baseball and softball are not using the facility. With the board approval, the nonprofit will be established by those named individuals. The nonprofit will generate an agreement for our attorney to review, evaluate, and the district to approve prior to the initiation of construction. So before we make the recommendation for the board, what we'd like to do is have Mr. Campbell present a short PowerPoint, and then we can answer any questions that you have about the information from the PowerPoint, as well as any of the discussions that we've had in the background about the building, and then hope to obtain the board's approval for the district to accept the donation of that building. So if you don't mind bringing up the PowerPoint for the athletics group. And Pete, if you'd like to.
All right.
One of the things that we looked at, we currently pay annually about $11,300 for the use of porta potties on that campus in that area.
Just those four porta potties that are at the baseball field are $11,000 a year.
You need to put that out for bid again.
Well, what we're hoping to do is
porta potties.
Is with the is with the construction and. Yeah. So what we're hoping to do is with the construction of this facility, we no longer will require those. The red barn that's in between the high school and middle school, that houses a men's and women's restroom that we have to winterize, so it has limitations on what time of the year it could be used. And we've had a lot of issues with that facility. We would be able to no longer use those facilities, so it'd save us some time, money from that, as well as some time and money from what we spent on the porta potties. So having the conversation with Nick, we feel like just based on our preliminary assessment, without knowing what mechanicals will go into this building and their energy consumption and whatnot, we feel like the construction of this building and the access to 365 days a year of restrooms, we could essentially operate this building cheaper than what we're paying for porta potties. So receiving the building in donation at zero cost to the school district will actually result in an operational cost savings over time with the addition of the restrooms. And the goal would be to not allow construction of the facility until 100% of the funds are raised, meaning what we don't want to happen is break ground, get a quarter of the way through, and funds become an issue and we have an eyesore on the property that we don't have the funding or resources to construct ourselves.
What kind of time frame are you thinking?
As soon as we get approval from you guys, we're ASAP trying to raise money. We have people that said they would like to donate, but we didn't want to take any of our commitments.
Sure.
Some of the complications of having a private enterprise build structure on the district.
So we talked to the DOE, and we have to create a nonprofit organization. That way the people who want to donate, we can give them a tax deductible receipt. And then we can build it on school property and then donate it to the school.
So during construction and initial completion, it will be your property until such time as you officially donate.
Yes, but that will be all written out in the agreement, you know, once everything gets handled. Your lawyer will have to approve that.
And so you said donate. Once it's donated, that's a one-way transaction. You can't get upset at district and say, hey,
no,
when I go
no,
back.
No, no. I mean, I have two kids on the baseball team. You know, everybody's interested in what we're doing so the kids have a place to practice.
So there'll be an agreement between that Jim will write up. Between us and them about and the liability and everything like that of it. So, I mean, you come here, you do all this work, you want to donate a building to the betterment of the school district for nothing and donate your time as well. I mean, I think this is absolutely awesome and we should encourage it and applaud it. So, one, I appreciate Mr. Marble and Mr. Holt with organizing this with you guys, and I appreciate everything that you guys are doing in order to make something like this happen. I mean, this really is awesome because for us to build it as a district, it's almost impossible.
Yeah. That's one of the things we looked at is
yeah.
It's a district where the reason we have to do a nonprofit is
yep.
because if you guys build it, you have to do prevailing wage,
yep.
the bid process, and it would
cost us quite a bit more.
Correct. So if we do it,
yeah.
I don't know if you have any connections for as a private citizen, not as a district employee. I am involved in a nonprofit, so if you needed some contacts, I could help you. Yeah, perfect. Yep. I haven't. Yeah, we. Exactly. You are a nonprofit until you aren't, and there's an 18-month process and a little, not a very negligible amount to pay for it, but good. That's great.
Madam President, I move to approve item 12.6, donated athletic building as submitted.
Okay. All right, with a motion by Mr. Skous and a second by Mr. Snow to approve the donated athletic building process at this point in time, right?
We're just approving you going forward with the nonprofit.
Accept
the athletic building.
Yes.
What he said. any further questions or comments?
Just to be clear, this would be initially strictly for baseball and softball, and any other sports, the athletes can make their own.
So we had
baseball and softball will get first dibs, so we would like it, just like any other facility on the property.
I think that makes sense.
We had the understanding that once we take possession of the property, we honor the priority during season for them, but it becomes the property of the school district and basically subject to the scheduling of the building administration and the athletic director to allow other sports access to the facility.
Right. But it's primarily a baseball and softball
facility,
and they get first refusal for it. Yep.
I think our bus contractors will be happy that our athletes can store the gigantic baseball bats, bags, storage, all that good stuff in a locker, and it's not going to and from home on the bus. I think that'll get a lot of support from them as well.
Cool. All right. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, how do you vote, Ms. Weber? Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skous?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you.
By Mr. Snow, a second by Ms. Weber to accept school choice for the 2024-2025 year school year as submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none. Ms. Weber?
Aye.
Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skous?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Smyrna High School National FFA Next Gen Environmental Services and Natural Resources.
Madam President, I move to approve item 12.8, Smyrna High School National FFA Next Gen Environmental Services and Natural Resources as submitted.
Motion by Mr. Skous, a second by Dr. Wilson to accept 12.8, Smyrna High School National FFA Next Gen Environmental Services and Natural Resources as submitted. Any questions or comments?
I have a quick question.
Okay.
No, I'm saying that, like, I feel like we do these, and by the time they get to us, they've been vetted 17 times.
Yeah.
That, like, do we legally have to do this for all these field trips?
I think we have it in the, anything that's overnight.
No, I know that's our policy, but is it because of a legal reason, or is it because that's we so choose?
I'll write it on my question.
All right, perfect. Thank you. I don't need to answer that. I don't ever remember the last
I think the only thing we've ever voted down was a class trip.
But that's been a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just thinking.
Good
Didn't night, we gentlemen. Vote one down? Didn't we vote down a class?
We made him bring back more information.
Yep. No, I'm going back to Mr. Skous.
We changed. Well, they presented it to us, and we told them to take it, and they changed their trip completely.
Yes.
Because they knew it wasn't good, but we didn't actually physically vote on that one.
Right. We tabled it.
We tabled it.
We tabled it pending alternate decision.
Yep.
I'm just curious. Like, I mean, if.
But yeah, we did have one like that.
Should this be more of a procedure than it is a policy?
Well, no, I don't know that it needs to change. I'm just curious, like, could we have better procedures? You know what I mean? Like, could we limit it to we would review the no's? Right, it's not too many no's. Instead of approve the yeses. Just the thought.
Like an appeal process for the no's.
That has nothing to do with this specific one. It was just a thought that it hit my brain. Let's brainstorm on it and maybe discuss it in August.
Gotta look at the law.
Yep. All right. Ms. Weber?
Aye.
Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Yet another one. All right. Our board policy reviews.
Madam President, I move that we accept board policy items 13.1, 13.2, and 13.3 as submitted.
Second.
All right. With a motion by Mr. Snow and a second by Mr. Skuse to accept board policies 13.1, 13.2, 13.3 as submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, Ms. Weber?
Aye.
Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Discussion, construction. I feel like this is going to be on the agenda a lot.
So I think it's going to be on the agenda pretty much every month for the for the next 27, I don't know. What a while.
I got 11 meetings.
So if you guys wouldn't mind bring up the PowerPoint for the school construction updates. So we have a lot going on. Oh, it's very touchy. A lot going on this summer. So we have the North Smyrna Elementary. We have the addition that's kicked off. We have the roof project that's going to be wrapping up. We're working on Clayton Intermediate, converting it to Clayton Middle. We have phase two of the Smyrna High School ESSER HVAC upgrades, as well as the completion of our tennis court and track resurfacing. So North Smyrna Elementary, I have a lovely picture of our construction entrance. If you haven't been by North Smyrna Elementary, you got to do yourself a solid and drive by and take a look at the tree that's splintered out front where they're taking that tree out. But we have a little bit of a dust bowl going on there, and Nick's worked very aggressively to make sure that we're watering that dusty, dry area so that we're not blowing an excessive amount of dirt across the field into the adjacent neighborhood. So we're working on making sure that's not happening. Our construction meetings for that project are set in place and scheduled, and we have those recurring meetings that have already started. We have a job site construction trailer on site, and that's for the management of the general contractor and the subcontractors that are going to be on site. The stormwater management has initiated. If you go by there, you'll notice there's been some improvements to the front of the school with regards to stormwater management. Nick was able to do a wonderful job of negotiating with a rental supply company to obtain a portable or a temporary classroom. Hard to see it from the road. If you're on the, we'll call it the south end of the building in between the cemetery where the building kind of horseshoes right there, if you look back, you can see a little bit of that building. But one of the things that's going to be a compromise with the construction is where the building connects on the rear of the building, we're going to have to sacrifice a classroom at some point. So Nick was able to, as I said, negotiate an amazing deal with a rental company that was liquidating one of their portable office buildings. I want to say around 1,000 square feet?
1,100 square foot has a bathroom facility.
And it has full HVAC capabilities for air conditioning, heating. So we were able to get that so that we can kind of, we'll say, smooth the transition. Instead of losing a classroom and having to compress, we'll be able to lose that classroom but expand into another area. We do own that building. So once it's done there, it could be used in other areas in the district, and it could be multi-purposed for a lot of reasons. So we have that in our possession now. Site work, that facility, the site work has begun. If you go by, if you're on Glenwood and look into the back, gigantic mound of dirt back there, significant. That project has a lot more site work than Clayton Intermediate. And that's one of the reasons why you're going to see some pictures here in a minute that show a little bit more development on the Clayton Intermediate project as opposed to North. The building pad is kind of set up and ready to go back there. And what's next? They're going to be digging footers and pouring the footers next week. That's the goal for that project. Roofing project. So that membrane is near completion. It's hard to see on the picture, but you'll see a little bit of that roofing membrane overlapping the roof itself. That's near completion. What's next there is just the wrapping up of the knee walls, getting the metal fascia installed, finishing up with the coping, as well as connecting or reconnecting some of the roof drains. we are, I'd say, in a good place for that project. We did have a meeting, Nick and I, a couple days ago with Fern and Clendaniel Architects to make sure that we're leveraging that timeline so that we're not still roofing that project when our kids get back in September. So we feel like we're in a good place from a timeline perspective. Clayton Intermediate. So as you can see here, the picture's taken from the stairwell on the north end of the building. Footers dug, poured. We have foundation walls being established. So getting ahead of myself, those construction meetings have been well underway and established for several weeks now. They've worked to relocate the gas main. We have this building is we're looking at the site in three areas, A, B, and C. So on the, we'll call it the north end of the building, that's site A, wrapping around to the back of the building, the back of the gymnasium where the lockers are going to go, site B, around to the cafeteria area where we're going to be making some modifications and additions there, that's site C. So right now, site prep is completed for A and B. They're installing some of the underground mechanicals there, getting ready to move on that. What's next? Area A, steel delivery is going to be coming soon for that area. Underground infrastructure is going to be continuing. Area B, foundation, they'll be working on next week, and as well as the footers for Area C. An exciting thing, talking with Nick and I worked with the site, the guy who's in charge of the site, Ben McCall, and then who's in charge of the project, Bob Blyman. One of the things that they suggested is that we do what's called a topping off ceremony, which would be take the highest piece of structural steel that's going to go in that addition and give the students and staff and any community members an opportunity to put their autograph on that piece of steel before it's set in place. So we're going to be trying to choreograph how and what that might look like close to when kids come back to school. So you're going to see a lot of things happening over at Clayton Intermediate over the next month. New intermediate school. So the Kent Conservation District submitted all of their necessary information back to First State Engineering. We'll call it the more complicated components of the approval have been secured. There's some detailed comments that they're awaiting First State Engineering to get back. That is the gatekeeper for the letter of no objection to record. Once that's received, the town of Smyrna can subdivide the property. When the property's subdivided, we can go to settlement. We're going to be working to try to get as many of these things happening in parallel as possible so that we're not waiting to the end, then going to the other group to start theirs, waiting to the end for the next group. The town of Smyrna has agreed to get all of their administrative details in order so that when that letter of no objection to record is given, they will be ready for the subdivision to happen. It doesn't have to go through town council approvals or anything like that. It'll be a pretty seamless process. So our hope, Mr. Ramunos should be back in the country now so that we should be able to get to settlement sometime this month, fingers crossed. If not, we're looking at August. So I'm continuing to pressure both First State Engineering to get their comments done, as well as the town of Smyrna to be prepared for subdivision of the property, and Mr. Ramuno to be able to get to the settlement table so that we can secure the property and get through all the regulatory channels that we need to get to our bidding of the project. The Smyrna High School ESSER HVAC project have some ceiling demo underway right now. As I said earlier, we're in phase two of that. Duct work's in progress now. Electrical work and LED lights are in progress. Those old rooftop units, as you can see with the crane there in the picture being pulled off of the roof. The new energy recovery ventilator rooftop units are in progress. Main HVAC trunk lines are starting next week on that project. We feel like we're in a good place timeline-wise for that project as well. Ventresca is the group that we're working with on this, and they've done a lot of work in the school district. They were great in getting phase one completed timely last year, so they're doing a good job of staying on task and on timeline this summer. The Smyrna High School track and tennis courts, the track repair has been completed. We had a lot of back and forth with that vendor about multiple patches that were done on the track. We we basically went back to them and said they had to replace probably about a 50-foot section of the track because of the multiple patches in that area. So they were able to get that done. It looks a lot better than the patches. The tennis court, those repairs were just completed last week. We met with Ken Fern from Fern and Clendaniel just to go through the final approvals of that process. So he should be submitting for substantial completion on that project so we can close the chapter on the resurfacing of those courts and track. And that's all I have, and we're ready to take any questions that you have.
So when did the ESSER money have to be spent by?
Is it October 30th or September 30th?
Of this coming October?
Yep.
Do we feel like we're on track for that, to have it all completely spent by them?
Definitely for those projects, and I can't necessarily speak for any of the other. That would be more Chris, but those projects, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we're using, just to clarify, those projects are not using ESSER dollars, the track, tennis courts, for the HVAC. That one we're in good shape to be spent out.
Yep. Okay. It just reminded me to ask.
Yep, nope.
Awesome. Good. So I want to make sure I understand this right. We cannot put out the bid for the new school until we have the property. We are owners of the property. Is that correct?
So that's the way I understand it. And what questions we could ask is potentially if there's flexibility if we have a settlement date. I'm not sure if that's allowable, but that's a question I'm willing to ask. What we've been told from the beginning of the project is you can't bid it unless you own it. But we can certainly ask the question if there's flexibility with a scheduled settlement date and an agreement with the landowner. So we can ask that question and see if there's some flexibility there to buy us some time.
Yeah, we need to try to be as efficient as we possibly can because we are way behind on this.
Absolutely.
So what is there anything you need from us in order to push that forward so that we can get this done?
I think most of the responsibility has fallen on Mr. Ramuno and his engineer to be timely in the work that they've done. And, well, for the past 6 months anyway, it's fallen in their lap to be responsible.
We need to go beat on the engineer's door somewhere. Where's his office?
That would probably
I'm not kidding. I'm to that point.
I could say that Nick is my
we'll go up to his office to have a conversation.
Nick can tell you that he's been my witness for the past 64 meetings that we've had on Thursday mornings that I badger the heck out of this
engineer.
Does
the engineer show up to those?
Yeah. His attendance say? About 80%. You know, he's at most of those meetings. And it's hard when you're not the supervisor of an employee to make them accountable for work that you're not paying for. So, as I said, I put as much pressure as I can. I've leveraged every state entity that we could as a district to help them expedite or beg them to expedite once they do submit work that's required. We've had Kent Conservation District has gone above and beyond to support the submittals. Mr. Ramuno actually paid it's around a $25,000 fee to expedite the review process. And it's supposed to be kind of a three strikes and you have to resubmit. And I have to say, KCD, to keep us or to keep the progress going with this project, went above and beyond to help Mr. Ramuno's engineer so that he avoided having to restart and repay that expedited fee.
So this is solely with the engineer.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
And has he given us or Mr. Romano a timeline on when he'll have this submitted?
So last week he said earlier this week he said I'm on it now, wrapping it up. The documents that he sent to CDA were all of his calculations for the neighborhood, because what we have to do, our engineers that we're paying, he has to take his CAD drawings and all of his calculations and put the school district site into those and make sure it's submitted as a whole package. So we're contributing to that submittal, but we couldn't do any of that work until he got done with his work. So what we've tried to do through our engineering group is to try to get that stuff from First State Engineering so that we could get our work done while he's waiting to wrap everything up on his side.
Yeah, seems like we've just been stalled out here for a while.
I agree. I mean, I'm not sure as a school district employee how to leverage, you know, a landowner and an engineer that.
Mr. Snow and I can go up there and
meet
with him face to face.
Yeah. I'm okay with whatever. It's your decision.
Yeah.
Take lunch.
We'll take him lunch.
Kill him with kindness.
Yeah. Good.
Great.
Good.
As soon as, like, first or second month of being here, we were like, we're all getting in the car and going to Mr. Amuna's office.
Yeah. But now he's not the hang-up. It's his engineer now.
Right.
Yep.
And he should be upset if he paid $20,000 to this engineer to expedite it.
And to
KCD to expedite.
Yeah, and Dr. Brown was a part of the conversation where I called for a meeting with Mr. Romano and his engineer to call them to the carpet on why things were delayed and to get Mr. Romano to leverage his engineer to pick his game up and work a little faster. So we've – every chance that we've had to put pressure, we've put pressure.
Okay.
Thank you.
I just have a random question about the road that's going in front of the new intermediate school. Because there was talk of them having to put a traffic circle between.
It's
going to
be a roundabout.
Okay. Because we know that DelDOT likes to work in a very timely manner, sarcasm included. Like, they... is there a timeline of when they're going to start that construction, or are they waiting until we actually own the property and the bidding goes out?
For which?
Rabbit Chase.
For Rabbit Chase. So there's a couple things that's been part of our land sale agreement for the installation of the access to our property, the sanitary pump station, and some other features that have been part of the agreement. That stuff is going to have a timeline to it. As far as when they make the determination on when the circle is going to be installed, that's probably going to fall more to a DelDOT approval process and DelDOT allowing or ordering when it's going to happen, and it'll likely be beyond the control of the school district. One of the conversations that I've had with Mr. Romano, and he's well aware, construction like that can't happen during the school year. And we've talked about some improvements that had to be made to that road. And in the past, when they were going to work on the road, we've agreed it has to happen between kids leaving in June and kids coming back in September. He's agreeable to that, and he understands that. And the town of Smyrna is not going to let – and DelDOT, they're not going to let him work on that intersection when we have school open. But that's not the only location for a roundabout. At the end of Rabbit Chase and Sunnyside, there's going to be a roundabout there as well.
Yes, that's the one. I knew that the one was going in front of the school, but the other one they were talking about doing as well, and that's going to impact, I think, a lot more people because Sunnyside's a very busy road.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, having all of that done before the school opens would be, you know, perfect world. But doing that construction while you have two schools worth of buses and parents and dropping off, I think it would be a nightmare.
Absolutely. And putting all that pressure on Brentford Road, because that's where a lot of the pressure is going to go when Sunnyside gets modified during the construction process. It's going to put pressure on Brentford Road, and that road's already I hate to say it, but it's a disaster anyway during high traffic periods.
Are they going to put stop signs there? Is that what the plan was, the Brentford Road and Rabbit Chase?
So that one's the wild card. I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen at that intersection.
That's how I heard it was stop signs, for all three-way or four-way stop.
Yep.
Imagine a stop sign there when school's letting out? No. Coming in?
No.
They're already going for a red light there.
That was one of the last meetings we were privileged to attend with DelDOT and Mr. Romano and his engineer. The conversation was kicked around about a traffic light there at Mr. Romano's expense.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if that's changed or
according to their numbers, though, stop sign is safer than a
and the roundabouts, according to the data, the roundabout's the safest of all.
No, not the one I saw. The stop sign was safer than a roundabout.
Yeah. DelDOT, that's what we quoted to DelDOT, and I was corrected immediately.
Four-way.
And then.
Oh, yeah, down on Brentford Road, there's going to be another one there. Anyway, we digress, but yeah.
Well, they said it'll slow the traffic down. There'll be less traffic.
Norms and standards.
Okay, so I asked for that to be on there. When we did them last year, we kind of talked about just making sure as we get to a new board year, we would kind of reaffirm or make changes. Seeing as how we didn't really have a change to the board, I just figured we ought to, you know, at least reaffirm our, you know, is everybody good with it? Do they want to see it again? Do they want to think about it?
I mean, I'm fine with continuing the way we've done it for the last year. Mm-hmm. I think it's worked well. Good, Charlie?
All right.
That was good. All righty. Fun one. Cell phone usage.
Excuse me, Madam Chair. I'm just curious. It says it has a date of August 30th, 2023.
Would you like us to update that to reflect this current school year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that it's
a renewal.
It's your,
yeah.
So I can start this one. So we have two things attached to it. One would be a letter that we, if it's the board's pleasure, would be sent to all parents and put on social media and stuff to try to get out there as much as possible. The other would be a draft of a policy that the board could work on. If it's the pleasure of the board, I guess we could read them. You okay with us reading those?
Yep.
You want to read your letter, Jonathan?
Sure. Smyrna School District Board of Education Board would like to inform our students, parents, staff, and community about an upcoming change happening for the 2024-2025 school year. Beginning September 3rd, 2024, student cell phones and other personal electronic devices will be placed in the designated area during the instructional portions of their day. In consultation with district administrators, educators, staff, and various studies, board believe that removing cell phones from the instructional portion of a student's day is in everyone's best interest. Personal electronic device use will be available to students outside of instructional time. Being a one-on-one district means that every student in kindergarten through 12th grade receives a device for instructional use inside and outside of the school. As such, cell phones and personal electronic devices are not needed for instructional purposes. The board understands it will be viewed as a major change within the district, and as such, evaluate how it works throughout the school year. Data collected, as well as feedback given, will be taken into consideration if policy adjustments are needed. Your support, both instructional staff and parents slash guardians, is paramount to make this a successful transition. The board asks that instructional staff lead by example and refrain from cell phone usage during class time. Parents and guardians, we need your support in helping your children understand that being without their phones for a little over an hour at a time has benefits to the learning environment and their overall academic success. Data also shows that limiting cell phones can have positive benefits on students' behavior, student mental health, and overall support.
thanks you for your help and consideration as we make this transition. We look forward to continuing to work together to provide our students with the best educational experience possible. One quick question. Is it kindergarten now or is it first grade? Okay.
So there's a draft or proposed policy that would go along with it. It would be personal electronic devices. The purpose would be to focus on education and eliminate distraction of personal electronic devices during educational period. The definitions would be the personal electronic device, any electronic device not actively being used as an for instructional purpose, including cell phones and other electronic communication devices. And then the definition would also be medical exemptions that would be prescribed by a medical professional. The policy statement would read, personal electronic devices must be turned off and placed in a designated area at the beginning of each instructional period except for medical exceptions. Only students with medical exemptions shall be authorized to use their personal electronic device for prescribed medical purposes. Any violation of this policy will result in confiscation of the student's personal electronic device and is done at the student's risk. Parents/guardians will be notified when the child's personal electronic device has been confiscated and may be required to pick up the phone during normal business hours. The Smyrna School District takes no responsibility for lost or theft of student's personal electronic device. Two of the consequences, and we can discuss, you know, where we would put those, but a first offense, confiscation. So the thought process, an offense here would be if the student did not place their personal electronic device in the designated area, and say, let's make an example. So the kid says, I don't have my phone today. Okay, you didn't put your phone where it's supposed to. So they sit down. 5 minutes later, the teacher sees them on their phone. So first offense would be confiscation of personal electronic device for the remainder of the school day. Students may retrieve the personal electronic device from the school's main office at the end of the day. Any subsequent offenses would be confiscation of personal electronic device for the remainder of the school day, and parent/guardian may retrieve the personal electronic device from the school's main office during normal business hours. That's a fair point. Good point. Very good point. Yeah, so the thought process that we had discussed would be Mr. Holt was looking into almost like those calculator holders that you put in the front of the room, right? And they'll have numbers across it. And then the student would put, as they come into class, they put it in their designated pouch. And then right before the bell to ring, the teacher would then go up there and monitor as students then go pick them back up to leave that educational period. So each educational period, it would be put in there, and then the student would have it in the hallways or at lunchtime and things like that.
B7 or whatever the designated.
Yeah. Yep. Like if leave it up to the schools or however they want to do it, but you know,
probably
I
go
think
by
a good
where
idea.
They are on the roster in the class. If I'm 13 on the roster, I get space 13,
yeah, that's
so it's consistent.
Yeah. If you have assigned seats and you numb the number the desks 1 through 25, and you know whatever your desk number is what your number on there, kind of thing.
Okay, that's not the main thing. Logistics is what time, the way you describe it, it won't be such a time.
Right.
And security, maybe someone's people should be interested in getting their own phone and not someone else's.
Right.
And you mentioned the consequence of someone. Let's say I don't want to put my go off, I don't use it, there's no consequence, just not up there, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's,
I mean, as long as
we talked about that. I mean, if, yeah, if you, if you can keep your phone in your pocket and not bring it out, the purpose is for you to be phoneless during instruction.
Yep.
If it's in your pocket and you don't want to put it in the caddy, that's fine. But if you take it out, then it's strike one, strike two.
And last concern is more confiscation.
Mm-hmm.
Today's students, I fear physical consequences in bringing in the SRO or the constable every time a student says, you can't have my phone.
It will happen.
Yes.
It will happen.
You have to be prepared for that.
Yeah,
yep.
I think for some of the school districts that we've talked to, it's been like it's the first 2 to 3 weeks. It's not fun. But then after that, none of them that I've talked to have regretted doing it. But you have to get through that first 2 or 3 weeks.
You understand that
this
is how it's going
to
be.
Yeah.
You have to set the precedent.
Yeah.
And there has to be consistency.
Yes.
Somebody that worked in a high school classroom, I do earphones and phone to these kids all day long.
So that's why it's personal electronic device. So any electronic device not actively being used for instructional purposes.
Yeah,
so that includes all of that.
Even the electronic?
Yeah, includes all of that.
Somebody still got an old palm bob, right? It counts. Right? You know, or an iPad or, you know, whatever it might be. What's that? BlackBerry.
Right, sure, of course. And it's put in there as well that it has to be turned off, so it's not a bunch of phones over in the corner ringing and everybody's getting a giggle out of making them all ring.
It's a senior prank.
Yeah,
that could be an interesting.
That was a senior prank.
Yeah.
For
so
sure.
Creative ring.
But this would also be, as we discussed, a first step, right? If the kids and the staff can work through this process, then they can continue to have their devices in off times, you know, in transition, at lunch, things like that. If not, we may have to escalate.
Good part about this is too, Dr. Brown brought in the principal from the high school as well as the principal from the middle school to be part of the discussion about how do we move forward with this and how do we do this realistically and how can they enforce it. So I think that was really good, but your key is exactly what you said. Everybody has to be on the same page for enforcing it. I think our educators, like in Mr. Snow's letter that he wrote, our educators have to lead by example and show, and also not be on their phones. And frankly, to be honest with you, I think us up here, we should try to refrain as much as possible from being on our phones so that we can lead by example as well. But I think this is, it's a big distraction in our school today.
It's a national distraction.
Yeah.
I mean, the governor of Virginia today put out a declaration.
Governor of Utah pretty much told their local school districts to figure it out and we'll do it for you.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised, I'm not going to lie, pleasantly surprised, but when we had this conversation and you had Mrs. Spelter and Mrs. Cole, and it was like, you know, they were more on the you're not going far enough side. I was like, man, I'm going to sell this thing a lot harder than this. And it's like, I mean, they were leaning farther than it was like, you know, we thought it was like, this is a good trial. And it's like, well, you can go farther if you want. It's like, oh, wow. Like, I didn't think it was going to go instantly.
But I think this is going to be a big communication thing this summer that we need to get, if it's the pleasure of the board to, if there's no objections to putting out Mr. Snow's letter, I think that needs to happen pretty soon. And even, I don't want to, you know, copy off people, but I liked how Brandywine put that social media post so you didn't have to click on something to read it. Like, it was just right there. It was eye-catching. I thought that something like that would be really good if, you know, if there's no objection from the board putting that out, and we can't necessarily vote on this today, but we could have all intentions of voting on this policy or changes to the policy in August.
Well, I think the letter, too. I mean, that's already in our code of conduct that their phones can't be out.
Right.
We're just reinforcing that.
Right.
We're gonna, the thought process was by having a standalone
yes.
policy
yeah.
in conjunction with
right.
the code of conduct. It's not a let me hunt through this code of conduct, right? You're
right.
going to go in there and undo cell phone or parking of cell phones by personal electronic devices.
Yep.
And, you know, and it's not going to be a whole. Well, we know we said we read the code of conduct, but like that was on page 92. So we didn't
yeah.
get there. No,
it should be on page
policy.
One.
Yes, yeah, so it would be a district-wide purchase, so there's continuity in product. And one of the things that Nick is going to be the one ordering the items so that he can make sure that, number one, there's continuity, and number two, it can be installed consistently across two buildings. Middle school is relatively straightforward, similar construction, similar class layout. High school is a little piecemealed with, you know, it's an old building that was added on to. So that's where I'm kind of giving it to Nick, because that's something he needs to be able to make sure that what we get fits all solutions. Location.
Yeah, it'd be real obvious if they're behind the teacher's desk.
Yeah, so somewhere near the teacher's desk is the goal, and like I said, making sure they're all the same, making sure there's no difference, and you're not letting them in different classrooms.
Yeah.
Double process.
I had a suggestion, and I have not saying I've seen this, but someone gave me the suggestion that I thought was pretty interesting. It was... And I don't know if we can find it, but it was something, you put them all in it, and we're trying to be inexpensive here, not with our, you know, the bag, yeah, we're not doing the RFID, I don't think it's realistic, but they said, what if it was almost like a garment bag in the front that when all the phones are in it, then the teacher zips it up, you know, so it's like all, they're all in there, mm-hmm. and you can't have somebody walk by and grab it, just, but I'm not. Yeah, it's
cheap magnets, and they would just magnet shut, and you would hear that magnet.
Yeah, just ideas. Just think
yeah,
about that kind of stuff.
Around, and their whole pocket charge is what they're called, and they're relatively cheap. So I thought about trying to source a way to make it, but now we've got 100 guns and how that all happened.
Yeah.
We've got 225 of them. We've got to have surplus if they did break mid-year or whatever. But they're relatively cheap. I mean, you can find some good ones for around $9, and then they go up like $29, $35.
It's going to break away through the stitching.
One thing we talked about the other day that I think we should absolutely point out now, for year one, the goal would be 7 through 12 with the hangers, and we would give the intermediate schools, the elementary schools, a little more individualized discretion on how they like to handle that. If they're not having the problem and they're getting kids to keep them in the bag, locker, whatever,
that's also why we specifically put in there designated area. You know, this is for the whole district, but designated area for one school might be in your book, in an elementary mm-hmm. school might be in your book bag or back in the, you know, your cabinet that yours are back or whatever. Yeah, locker at CIS or something like that, right? So that's why we put designated area, not a specific
location.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the key is, right, like if you refusal to put it in the sleeve is not a punishment as long as it doesn't make a noise.
Yeah, the punishment is if it's out and seen in class.
Or if it's ringing in your pocket or backpack, right? Like that's
I agree.
Yeah.
We just need to make that very clear.
Yeah, my thought is, like, if I'm standing there as a teacher and say, put your cell phones, and this kid says, I don't have mine, say, okay, that's fine, but if I see one out, it's gone. You know, that's it.
We're not trying to get into stop and search or all that.
Right.
There's a little honor system, but the honor system ends at, it's now in your hand, and I'm teaching.
And I can see it.
Back.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree completely. Just have to make that very clear.
We will have to.
And it has to be, that has to be consistent as well in the classrooms. We can't have one teacher saying, you have to put them up, and then in another classroom, you can have them in your pocket. You mean welcome back with staff?
Back for staff. So just that way, like, we can maybe get out there and kind of, you know, prep them a little bit, because they're going to hear it. Again, I think one of those things, like, I want them to hear it 50 times before the first kid steps in their classroom. So, like, this is our decision, and we're the ones, you know, that are, you know, have to make the call. Then maybe they want to hear it from us too, right? They can hear it from you. They can hear it from us. They can hear it from the principal.
Yeah.
They hear it from their lead teacher.
You need to hear it from everybody.
Yeah.
The whole community needs to hear it from everybody, not just the staff.
Correct,
too.
Correct.
Like, My thoughts were, if there's no objection from the board tonight, then we start putting out that letter as many places as we can. Email it to, you know, our staff, our parents from last year, put it on social media, all that stuff.
But I just think that face-to-face with the staff, our expectation of them, we should take that opportunity face-to-face.
Yeah.
This is a proposed change that could very well pass. It might have been 27.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, if we don't get out there now, it's not going to...
Yeah,
we have to get out there now.
Yeah.
All right, and then code of conduct.
This was the big change. There wasn't really any other drastic changes, but it was just kind of the idea was to have everybody look at it. So if something wants changed, it could go before the policy committee in August, which would then allow it to be on our agenda at the end of August.
The only thing that I wanted to not necessarily change, but kind of make a statement about was it's been brought up that code of conduct violations, the violations for that part are just restorative practice each time, or repeated code of conduct violations. It was brought up that it doesn't have an increasing consequence. But I remember, as we talked about it on the code of conduct committee, when we put that in there, that's because their actual violation that they're committing is going to have a consequence that's going to continue to grow. So I'm not even sure that we need to have in there repeated code of conduct violation anymore. I'm not sure that that's even necessary. Yeah. Well, the
See it there, not in a bold
I mean, you're gonna report the actual violation, not the, you know, you're not gonna come up with another code that says repeated code of conduct violation. Like, I don't even think that needs to be there. Yeah, it didn't add that to a repeated code of conduct. Yeah. And we'll also have to update the cell phone in here as well.
Anything else?
Madam President, I move that we go into executive session.
Oh, my. Second.
Motion by Mr. Snow and by Mr. Seuss, and a second by Mr. Skuse to go into executive session. Ms. Weber, how do you vote? Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Ms. Dr. Wilson? Aye. Chair votes aye.
I meant to bring it up earlier, and I forgot.
Yes.
Yeah, I know, but just in case.
Tomorrow?
Madam President, I move to approve item 5.1 through 5.15. Sorry, excuse me. I move to approve item 15.1 through 15.10 as submitted.
With a motion by Mr. Skuse, a second by Mr. Snow to approve items 15.1 through 15.10 as submitted. Are there any questions or comments? Hearing none, how do you vote, Ms. Weber?
Aye.
Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Student matter 2425.
Madam President, I move to accept student matter 16.1 as submitted.
Second. Motion by Mr. Snow, a second by Ms. Weber to accept student matter 16.1 2024-2025 as submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, how do you vote, Ms. Weber?
Aye.
Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
With a motion by Mr. Skuse and Mr. Snow and a second by everybody else, I declare the motion. Let's vote. Okay. Ms. Weber?
Aye.
Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Wow, we're like 5 hours ahead of Christina.
Hold on. We can go back in there if you want.
It's declared.